It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Another week in the planetary asylum is come and gone. Why are all official sources and the power structure-controlled mainstream media doing their best to demonize anyone that dares ask this question? Is the COVID-19 pathogen a bioweapon and not the result of nature? The commercial-free Global Alert News Hour, episode number 242, starts now. More and more pieces of the puzzle are surfacing to make clear the conclusion that the COVID-19 virus not only originated from a biolab, but that lab was very possibly in the United States. Please listen carefully to the following report, published in thescientist.com, first posted November 16th, 2015. Here is the title of the report, quote, "Lab-Made Coronavirus Triggers Debate." Subtitle in the report, "The creation of a SARS-like virus has scientists discussing the risks of, quote, gain-of-function research." Remember that term, gain-of-function. That means to engineer a pathogen in a way that enables it to then jump species, i.e. infect the human race. From the report, infectious disease researchers at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill last week, which was November 9, 2015, published a study on their team's effort to engineer a virus with the surface protein of the SHCO14 coronavirus found in horseshoe bats in China, along with a protein that causes human-like severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, in mice. The product hybrid virus could infect human airway cells and caused disease in mice, according to the team's results, which were published in Nature Medicine. The results demonstrate, the report states, the ability of the SHCO14 surface protein to bind and infect human cells, validating concerns that this virus or other coronaviruses found in bat species may be capable of making the leap to people without first evolving in an intermediate host. How can they make such a statement when they're the ones engineering this bridge in a lab? They're the ones making this happen. The report continues. They also reignited debate, these study findings of their created virus results, a debate about whether that information justifies the risk of such work, i.e. creating these pathogen bioweapons in a lab, known as gain-of-function research. If the new virus escaped, the report states, nobody could predict the trajectory. It seems Bill Gates and his team, Event 201, predicted it right at the start of the actual event happening, didn't they? That nobody could predict this. Nobody could predict 9/11, just as we were told, when we know our government knew it was coming. No one could predict Pearl Harbor when we know our government knew that was coming. Nobody could predict Saddam Hussein didn't have weapons of mass destruction when we know our government knew he didn't have them. Nobody could predict that Vietnam didn't really start the Vietnam War when that was a false flag event. This is business as usual when a crime syndicate controls a government. And that's the case with all governments, by the way, not just ours, all governments. But the danger governments pose is in direct proportion to their size and strength. And where does that leave the United States of America with a military juggernaut that is bigger than the next 10 militaries combined? That should frighten all of us. Eisenhower tried to warn us. Many have tried to warn us along the way. Kennedy tried to warn us in the most profound speech of all a week before they killed him. Shouldn't all of this alarm us? I want to continue from this report, again, lab-made coronavirus report from 2015. Report states, in October 2013, the U.S. government put a stop to all federal funding for the, quote, gain-of-function studies. Again, gain-of-function means engineering a virus with special properties that allow it to infect humans. They are doing this in a laboratory. This report is confirmation of that. Fully 5 years before the current outbreak started. The report continues, with particular concerns rising about influenza, SARS, and Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, that's MERS, The National Institute of Health has funded studies because they help define, the report states, the fundamental nature of human pathogen interactions, and they enable the assessment of the pandemic potential of emerging infectious agents and inform public health and preparedness efforts, National Health Institute Director Francis Collins at the time said in a statement. The report continues, quote, "These studies, however, also entail biosafety and biosecurity risks which need to be understood better." Think of the insanity of all of this. Claiming they need to engineer these pathogens with gain of function traits which allow them to jump to the human species in order to understand them better in case that happens someday when it's already happened because they engineered it. Nature did not do this. This is an act of the human race. And how many insane acts of the human race do we have to cite before the behavior of our species, of so many in our species, is better understood as not being sane, not being rational? What rational species would detonate over 2,000 nuclear bombs, all of them irreparably contaminating the planet? Some of those bombs detonated in the atmosphere, irreparably damaging the atmosphere. That's just one example of what, quote, they being those who print the money, those who fund militaries, those who thus own countries, they do whatever they want. And in order to facilitate them doing whatever they want, they pacify first world populations with material wealth and seemingly endless sensory distractions. In the meantime, our species, because these powers have gone so unchecked for so long, our species, and indeed the entire web of life, is circling the drain. The report continues, the study on the SHC-014 coronavirus began before the moratorium was announced, the moratorium on this type of research, and the National Institute of Health allowed it to proceed during a review process which eventually led to the conclusion that the work did not fall under the new restrictions. In other words, they could continue with engineering these deadly pathogens in U.S. biolabs. Final excerpts from the report. The impact of this work is the creation in a lab of a new non-natural risk. Engineered virus at least 5 years ago, coronavirus engineered with the ability to infect human beings because of the, quote, gain of function traits that were engineered into it in a biolab. And again, these traits were not engineered into just any coronavirus. They were engineered into a very deadly form of coronavirus that long ago. Final excerpt from the report. The results of this coronavirus experimentation and engineering have moved this virus, this is from 2015, from a candidate emerging pathogen to a clear and present danger, end quote, 2015. So, though a moratorium on lethal pathogen research and creation was imposed in 2013, the experimentation and creation of the deadly coronavirus strain in the report just covered was allowed to continue by the National Institute of Health, and a deadly pathogen was created at least 5 years ago. And a reminder of this report I gave in last week's broadcast. The following headline is from 2017, published in Scientific American. Quote, U.S. lifts moratorium on funding controversial high-risk virus research. No moratorium anymore whatsoever as of 2017. From that report, the federal government announced that it lifted the moratorium on funding controversial research that involves genetically altering viruses in ways that could, may, might, what ridiculous terms in this context, that could make them more contagious, more deadly, or both. Called, the report states, gain of function research. This experimentation, critics say, risks triggering a catastrophic pandemic. From 2017. Summary, the Trump administration lifted the deadly virus research and experimentation moratorium in 2017. And there is no could, may, might trigger a catastrophic pandemic. It's again like saying if you leap off a 100-story building, you could, may, might hit the sidewalk and be injured. Ridiculous. This is the sort of science, quote science, and quote journalistic communities we live in that increasingly have no relationship to reality, none. The most critically important breaking headline reports in a moment. But first, to each and every individual that is doing their best to stay informed, to abandon ideology, preconception, and bias, and to see the world through a clear lens, and to wake others, and to help turn the tide, thank you. More than I can say, it is our collective efforts that can yet make a difference at this late hour. This is Dane Wigington from GeoengineeringWatch.org. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 242, March 28th, 2020. In this broadcast, news that covers the issues we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by GeoengineeringWatch.org and paid for by GeoengineeringWatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 to 7, Sunday mornings, same time slot, repeat broadcast. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. This broadcast is re-aired on the East Coast on the PRN Radio Network, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. The latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. If you're in the Reading area, we leave free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials at Orchard Nutrition. Talk to some of the Orchard staff in the vitamin section. And for the record, again, to wake individuals up to very unpleasant but necessary to know truths, it is exponentially more effective to pass on credible, compelling, printed data. Lengthy verbal attempts to pass on this type of dire information often, all too often, simply put people's defenses up. Moving on, so much to cover. Not enough time in this on-air broadcast, but I'll do my best. How many strains of engineered coronavirus might there be? Consider this recent headline from the Thailand Medical News. Coronavirus, are we being lied to or are the experts clueless, end quote. Let me stop there for a moment on the so-called, quote, clueless experts. How many of those do we have embedded into our society, embedded into the halls of academia? Experts that tell us it's safe to inject known neurotoxins into our systems in the form of vaccinations, and about how those vaccinations impact the coronavirus scenario, more on that later in this broadcast. But another example along the same theme, how many, quote, experts do we have in the halls of academia, in the meteorologist communities, climate science communities, that can't find the courage to acknowledge the climate engineering elephant in the sky, still towing the official false narrative that this is only condensation we see in our skies? And now more than ever, we need to consider what's being sprayed into our skies. What we already know is being sprayed, proven from lab tests from all over the globe, are highly toxic elements that are damaging countless aspects of our health, including our respiratory system, making us more susceptible to any form of pathogen, creating a long list of diseases that are known to be associated with elements like aluminum and barium. And when these elements are combined, it becomes much more toxic. So how many, quote, experts do we have in how many fields that are simply pumping out nothing but fabricated delusion that they feed to populations because that's what the power structure has ordered them to do and that's what they receive their paychecks and pensions for? I'm sorry to be so critical of academia, but how could I not be? How few academicians are actually telling the truth on so many critical subjects, so many, quote, professionals and, quote, experts? How many are actually telling the truth? And this report from the medical news in Thailand is an acknowledgement of the lack of honesty in so-called academia. They continue with this. As the Thailand medical team combs through hundreds of research studies, some peer-reviewed, others not, it seems that they say the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and the National Institute of Health, that government officials in these agencies and authorities are either not telling us something or are lying or are, quote, clueless. The report continues. Chinese researchers have stated that the residual or dormant viral loads in the body of, quote, recovered, end quote, patients will have ongoing residual effects on the human body, just like HPV has the ability to cause a variety of cancers, or the herpes virus has the ability to cause neurodegenerative diseases, etc. Why is it that only the Thailand Medical News is addressing these facts? Why are no studies being conducted on these issues, considering the fact that the Chinese researchers are warning that some of the numerous strains, remember that statement, that as a result of their mode of attack on human host cells indicates that low-level infection of such strains can result in chronic diseases from cancer to tissue and organ damage. Why, the Thailand Medical Group states, is this not being reported? Why is it being covered up? And on that note, to weave something else into this, grabbing at one piece of the puzzle, as many in industrialized societies have been trained to do, and presenting that piece as the whole picture does not lead to credible database conclusions. The scenario we face on many fronts, from climate engineering to the vaccination assault to the engineered COVID-19 bioweapon, these equations are complex and there are many layers. There are many agendas being carried out. And unfortunately, many sources of information are still pushing a narrative that, quote, the entire COVID-19 pathogen pandemic is just, quote, fabricated. This narrative is dangerous, to say the least. In many cases, the rationale of such sources is that, quote, because the COVID-19 pathogen is facilitating agendas of control, therefore the pathogen must be a hoax. The same sources have made the same baseless case about climate and biosphere collapse. They have claimed that because some are capitalizing off such collapse scenarios, then the scenarios must be fabrications. Again, completely factless reasoning. An example I have given many times and will give again now is this, that countless entities and individuals capitalize from wars. Does that mean the wars did not happen? Does that mean people did not die? Does such a question even deserve an answer? Moving on as quickly as I can. Again, so much data to cover in this broadcast. What else aren't we being told? From globalresearch.ca, this report. COVID-19, two major waves of global infection towards global contamination. From that report, the U.S. State Department and media are heavily promoting as theology that the COVID-19 is a, quote, Chinese virus and China spread it around the world, end quote, demanding apologies and more. One American law firm in Florida, in fact, has filed a class action lawsuit against the Chinese government seeking compensation for, quote, damages. There is substantial evidence that this American theology is not supported by the facts. There appears to have been two major, quote, waves of global infection, the first around the end of January, the second a month later. The first wave simultaneously infected 25 nations or provinces within a few days, centered around January 25th. The infected areas include Macau, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, Vietnam, South Korea, Sri Lanka, the Philippines, Cambodia, Nepal, Malaysia, Australia, Thailand, Canada, the U.S., Germany, Italy, the U.K., France, Bavaria, Spain, Belgium, Russia, Finland, and the United Arab Emirates. 1 month later, the second wave simultaneously infected 85 nations within a few days, centered around February 25th. I don't have time to name all 85 nations. The list is easily researched. Moving on. Question. Could a natural virus, the report asks, have the ability to simultaneously infect 85 different countries on all continents of the world with outbreaks in multiple locations in each country within the span of a few days? More perplexing is that these countries were not all infected with the same strain of the virus, which means that the simultaneous infections in these 85 countries were not from the same source. Further, it is important to note that the high fatality rates are entirely within Italy, Iran, and China. For approximate figures, China's fatality rate is between 3% and 4%. That of Iran, about 7%. And Italy, at the highest, around 9%. Even more interesting is that if these countries did pass their strain of virus to other nations, those strains abandoned their lethality when they left home. Of the 34 countries supposedly infected by Italy, for example, all exhibit very low mortality, the same being true of the Chinese or Iranian infections. The natural conclusion is that these viruses prefer their home populations, i.e., translation, the various genetic strains of the COVID-19 bioweapon were targeted for specific populations. The COVID-19 pandemic has understandably taken center stage. What factor is it imperative to keep in mind at this most critical crossroad in time? First, frontline data absolutely points to the conclusion that the COVID-19 virus is not an act of nature. Rather, it is the spawn of biological engineering. COVID-19 is a bioweapon. Next, the bottom line is this. Even if the COVID-19 bioweapon had not been released on populations, collapse was already upon us, already unfolding. Climate and ecosystem collapse forces societal collapse. These factors, in turn, force power structure total desperation. A point that geoengineeringwatch.org has tried to trumpet on the record for over a decade. The COVID-19 bioweapon is a manifestation of power structure, desperation, and insanity. This question must be asked and answered. Which global power center is responsible for the COVID-19 bioweapon creation and release? Again, consider that the U.S. military has some 400 biolabs all over the globe in many countries. Again, consider that the U.S. military has carried out hundreds of open-air biological tests on innocent U.S. civilian populations. This is not my opinion. It's a historically documented fact. Please don't believe me. Please research that fact. And does such a fact mean other governments and other parts of the world are benevolent or innocent of such crimes? Of course not. What it means is that those who actually control governments have no regard whatsoever for experimenting on or even killing off innocent populations, even their own. And this includes U.S. military personnel who are routinely used as lab rats, who are routinely experimented on, who are routinely exposed to countless lethal elements, experimental vaccines, depleted uranium ammunition that our troops were not told about in the Gulf Wars and all exposed to. Our military personnel are completely expendable to those who actually control power. And the sooner our military brothers and sisters come to understand that, the sooner they will understand that populations, especially heavily armed populations like that of the U.S., are not only expendable to those in power, but a rapidly increasing liability. And in regard to issues like depleted uranium, again, for those who don't know what that is, it was the ammunition that our U.S. military used, again, unknown to our troops when they were exposed to it in the first Gulf War. Search this documentary, incredibly good and internationally award-winning documentary that proves that our soldiers are nothing more than cannon fodder for those in power. Search Hidden Wars of Desert Storm by French filmmaker Gerard Ungerman, a very long-term personal friend of mine. Search that film, watch it, consider it. Again, an internationally award-winning film that highlights one stunning example of what we're not being told. The vast majority, even now, don't yet understand the gravity and immediacy of what's unfolding. Even if those in power allow a eventual temporary reprieve from the COVID-19 bioweapon assault, they can, at any future moment, release new and even more deadly pathogens. Those who wield power during these dark days can, at any point of their choosing, release pathogens that could take out most of the global population in the blink of an eye. Unless or until a majority of the population faces this dark truth, unless or until a majority of our military brothers and sisters stop blindly obeying horrifically immoral orders, we have no chance. We have no chance of winning this battle without fully awakening a significant percentage of our military brothers and sisters. Never forget that. That's where the critical mass of awareness is so key. The only way we can stop this insanity is from the inside out. And that's how it can, that's how it must occur. That's the only way forward in this battle. On the subject of the likely scenario of more engineered pathogens being released into already struggling global populations, this new headline report from the UK Independent, listen carefully, quote, "We should start thinking about the next one," end quote. The headline continues, "Coronavirus is just the first of many pandemics to come." What do they know that we don't know? That's the sort of programming that conditions populations to just accept such horrific scenarios because they were, quote, predicted by the, quote, experts. This is simply waging warfare on global populations because those in power know the planet and its imploding ecosystems can no longer support the global population. That is a statistical, mathematical fact. It's not my opinion. It's a fact. I realize that's a fact that very few want to accept, but we must accept that. We must begin to consider, what can we salvage at this late hour? And that effort will take all of us, absolutely all of us. Final excerpt from this report warning us of future pandemics to come. It states this, "There are going to be more diseases like this in the future if we continue our practices of destroying the natural world." Well, certainly we are destroying the natural world in countless ways. There's no question about that. But to blame this virus on that is patently false. And this is the kind of deception we have coming from so many in academia, coming from so many in the so-called journalist communities, simply parroting power structure narratives to receive their paychecks and pensions. And who suffers the consequences? Absolutely all of us. On the current course, no one gets out alive, and we will likely take the entire web of life down with us. Thus the need to change course completely and immediately. Again, that effort will take all of us. From political.com, "Coronavirus will change the world permanently. Here's how." Here's more forms of public programming I just want to point out. It states this, "There will be a new kind of patriotism." What kind of patriotism do we have now? One that demonizes anybody that dares to question blind patriotism? Blind patriotism is not patriotism. It's tyranny. It's total tyranny. And that's the brand of patriotism that we seem to have so prevalently in this country and other countries. Report states there will be a decline in polarization. Do we really see that? Not at all. The population is more polarized than ever. And certain political characters fuel that polarization. And that divide serves those in power. Divide and conquer. This report from Political also states this. There'll be a return to faith in, quote, serious experts. Why in the world, especially now, would we increase our faith in the so-called experts that in so many arenas have done nothing but deceive, that have done nothing but push the false narratives of those in power? The political.com report also states this. There will be less individualism, turning us all into just another brick in the wall. That's certainly a goal of those in power. The report states this also, big government makes a comeback. Well, that's just what we need, isn't it? When they're taking over everything already. We live in a fascist state. Fascist. So many people, unfortunately, are using terms that don't apply. I hear the communism term a lot, that our government is nothing resembling a communist government in any form, and communism just another form of tyranny as well. But the bottom line is our government most directly fits the definition of a fascist government. The political.com report further states this, government becomes big pharma, not becomes, is already and has been for a very long time. Government paying the bills for big pharma for all injury and death their products cause. That's being in bed completely with big pharma. Next point from the politico.com report, revived trust in institutions. Been over that already. No valid reason to have more trust in institutions that have done nothing but deceive us, institutions that are paid, bought and paid for by those who print the money. Next point, science reigns again. What kind of science? The kind of science that tells us we need to geoengineer our skies immediately. The kind of science that tells us this would involve planes spraying particulates into the skies. And the kind of science that then tells us what we are seeing, exactly what they're describing, by the way, is not really what we are seeing. That kind of science, do we want that kind of science to reign again? Because we certainly don't have real science in our society anymore in so many cases. We have nothing but institutions that are tasked with deceiving populations, pacifying populations until the brutal bitter end, which is perilously close at this juncture in time. Final point from this report, quote, the inequality gap will widen. How much wider can it get? Everything is collapsing, and those that control the money seem to think they're going to take it with them. In fact, they're all leaving, aren't they? As I covered in a previous broadcast, from Bezos to 1,300 CEOs have stepped down, and they are the rats leaving the sinking ship. Don't they know that they are on the same ship? There's nowhere to hide. They can crawl into whatever space they want. They're still on the same ship. When the ship goes down, they will go down. I want to point out this report excerpt from medicalexpress.com. States this, more than 3 billion people are living under lockdown measures as soaring death tolls in Europe and the U.S. continue to rise. This report states this, a United Nations warning states the coronavirus pandemic threatens all of humanity. It further states COVID-19 is threatening the whole of humanity and the whole of humanity must fight back. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, launching an appeal for $2 billion to help the world's poor. Let's stop for a moment to consider the absurdity of this figure. $2 billion to help billions of the world's poor, while at the same time, $2 trillion of printed from thin air fiat money has just been pumped into the U.S. stock market Ponzi scheme to prop it up for a few more days. $2 billion for the world's poor, $2 trillion to prop up the stock market Ponzi scheme. And let's not forget the $30 trillion that the Pentagon is missing in the last two decades. How do you lose $30 trillion? Where did you get $30 trillion to begin with on top of all your other budgeting? We live in an asylum, an absolute asylum. Question on that note, how many have seen, or should I say suffered through, the mindless, moronic rhetoric being spewed from our so-called elected officials on the floor of the U.S. Congress? It was a true circus of clueless idiocy, a theater of the absurd, as they all gave their one-minute narratives of why they supported the $2 trillion printed money out of thin air, so-called stimulus package, much of it simply to temporarily support the very fascist corporations that are running the show already, but also to pacify populations until the brutal, bitter end, while those in power continue to tighten the noose around our collective necks. Bouncing back to the UN and yet another disinformation effort from them, the UN environmental chief just said this about the COVID-19 bioweapon. Quote, nature is sending us a message. All these sources of power structure narratives from the headline I covered earlier from the UK media to this, simply to program populations into believing a false narrative. The COVID-19 bioweapon is not an act of nature. But they keep parroting this, and eventually the lie becomes truth for so many, too many in our populations. But nature is not the source of the COVID-19 bioweapon. The origin of this, quote, novel pathogen is a biolab. Again, COVID-19 is yet another manifestation of an increasingly desperate and totally out of control power structure. Unfolding climate and biosphere collapse will make the power structure more desperate and dangerous than ever. The effort to cull and control is being accelerated. And lest we forget that, again, even if the COVID-19 bioweapon had not been let loose to wreak havoc on populations, climate, environmental, and societal collapse were already here. And above it all, the climate engineering, weather, and biological warfare rages on in our skies. If we remain on the current course, we are most definitely doomed. Not my opinion, mathematical and statistical fact. In regard to the COVID virus and factors that may be affecting its lethality, as I made mention of at the closing of my last week's broadcast, where and how do influenza vaccines fit into this equation? What aren't we being told? Consider this. A study published in the prestigious Journal of Vaccine, a peer-reviewed medical journal. This is not an anti-vax journal. It is a mainstream medical journal titled Influenza Vaccination and Respiratory Virus Interference Among the Department of Defense Personnel During the 2017-2018 Influenza Season. That's the title of the report. This report reveals that flu vaccines may increase the risk of infection from other respiratory viruses, a phenomenon known as virus interference. The report stated this: examining non-influenza viruses, specifically the odds of both coronavirus and human metapneumovirus in vaccinated individuals were significantly higher when compared to unvaccinated individuals. The statistics in this report translate to this. There was a 36% increase in the case of coronavirus contraction and a 51% increase in the case of metapneumovirus contraction in those who had had the flu vaccine. Again, further clarification and translation. This report came to the conclusion that those who had received the flu vaccine were significantly at higher risk for contracting these two ailments. A 2018 study published in the PNAS, this is the Proceedings for the National Academy of Sciences, found that receiving a flu vaccination might increase aerosol shedding of flu particles 6.3 times more as compared to having no vaccination. That's an over 600% increase. And let's not forget the neurotoxins and other highly toxic elements that are contained in vaccinations and the correlation with various neurological ailments, diseases from autism, ADD, Alzheimer's, dementia, all human diseases directly associated with many of the elements contained in vaccinations. And now we add everything I just covered. Let's take this further because it gets worse. First, consider this next headline from multiple sources, which is in fact disinformation. But after I cover this headline, let's examine more dire and damning facts that relate to the subject matter previously discussed. First, the headline, quote, Italy's coronavirus crisis was accelerated because young Italians spend more time with elderly relatives and took illness home from the cities to the countryside, Oxford scientists say. Oxford, we know who funds that institution that we're supposed to have more trust in while they continue to deceive populations. So on that note, blaming it on Italians being sociable, now consider this report excerpt from multiple sources. Could a new flu vaccine be partly responsible for the COVID-19 mortality rate in Italy? This summary report stated this. The infection rate and mortality rate in Italy to COVID-19 was dramatically higher and is dramatically higher. Why? The official narratives of it being a cause of an elderly population and the failure to implement social distancing soon enough doesn't explain what's happening. In September 2019, Italy rolled out an entirely new type of influenza vaccine. This vaccine, called VIQCC, is different than other types of vaccines. Most available influenza vaccines are produced in embryonated chicken eggs. VIQCC, however, is produced from cultured animal cells rather than eggs and has more of a, quote, boost to the immune system. As a result, the VIQCC vaccine also contains four types of viruses, two type A viruses, H1N1 and H3N2, and two type B viruses. So this question arises, could this new, quote, super vaccine have impacted the immunity system for Italians in such a way as to increase the coronavirus infection through virus interference that sets the stage for what happened in Italy? Vaccinations and viral pandemics, are they connected? Is that a part of the connection? Again, the equation is very complex. There are many factors in it. Just trying to point out pieces of the puzzle, not the whole puzzle. Please don't misquote me. I'm pointing out factors. Yes, we have different strains of the viruses showing up in different localities all at the same time. Very perplexing. We have an apparent potential vaccination piece of the puzzle that may further affect the equation. We must consider all pieces of the puzzle. We have other environmental factors, radio frequency, microwave transmissions, weakening our immune systems, all parts of the puzzle. But we must look at all of the parts of the puzzle if we're to come to a correct picture, correct conclusions, accurate conclusions, all parts of the puzzle. It's not a this or that equation. It's a this and that and many other factors. Very complex, multi-layered. Same is true with what's happening in our skies with climate engineering, which also is a part of this puzzle. At minimum, weakening our respiratory and immune systems, making us all more susceptible. This is science fact, proven with lab tests from all over the globe, proven with atmospheric testing carried out by geoengineeringwatch.org, proving the elements named in climate engineering patents are being emitted from heavy aircraft in our skies. There's no speculation here, and staying in denial won't save us. All of us are needed to squarely face the truth head on. It's our only chance to face the truth head on and to each do our individual parts toward reaching a critical mass of awareness, which again, I've stated over and over and over, it's the only way forward. There is no silver bullet. There's no magic cure. If we can fully awaken populations to understanding they're literally fighting for their lives. And when I state populations, I am also most directly referring to the most important part of our populations at this time to wake up, military brothers and sisters and law enforcement. And only in waking up populations fully to the gravity and immediacy of what's unfolding, to the fact that their futures, their children's futures, all of that is in the balance. Only then do we have a chance of stopping the insanity from the inside out. Does that mean everything goes back to the way it was? Absolutely not. We are through the guardrail. There's no going back. Now it's a matter of what we can still salvage, but that's absolutely worth fighting for. And absolutely all of us are needed in that battle. Moving on to this question. What is the true death toll of the COVID-19 virus? From the International Business Times, this headline, is China hiding COVID-19 death toll? ? And then this question, 21 million cell phones disappeared. Why? ? The International Business Times is not trying to shove a conclusion forward on this. They're simply asking this question. If 21 million cell phone accounts in China were canceled after the coronavirus, and if 840,000 landlines were closed in China after the virus outbreak, then should we ask this question? Does this sudden drop suggest a much higher coronavirus death toll than we're being told? Another headline from Reuters and other sources. U.S. slashed Centers for Disease Control staff inside China just prior to outbreak. That's interesting, isn't it? How about this headline? President rejects New York's plea for ventilators, saying, I don't believe you need, quote, that many. Another headline, corporate executives like Jeff Bezos and others sold billions in stocks prior to the COVID-19 outbreak in the U.S. And as already stated, literally thousands of these individuals have already left their post like rats leaving a sinking ship, running to whatever hole they've made for themselves to hide in while society collapses. But the whole ship's going down, as I've already stated. Shouldn't it anger us, all of us, to know that this type of cancer exists in the ranks of our society? So many people helping to facilitate this insanity, either actively or passively, because it couldn't happen otherwise. And for those who are still willing to turn two blind eyes to what is unfolding, to pretend it's not happening, or to tell themselves they can't make a difference for the better, that's not true. In either case, even at this late hour, if all those who are awake and aware would stand together, would make their voices heard in the effort to wake others, and if those then stood with us, collectively, we could yet make a quantum leap in the right direction. And we must feel a righteous sense of anger at what's happening. And if we don't, something's wrong. Consider this quote, which I've covered in a previous broadcast some time ago, but it needs to be said again now, from Thomas Aquinas. He said this, "He who is not angry when there is just cause for anger is immoral." Why? Aquinas asks, and he answers, "Because anger looks to the good of justice. And if you can live amid injustice without anger, you are immoral as well as unjust." We should all consider that quote deeply. To do nothing is to do something, not the right something. But it is to do something. It is to make a decision to do nothing. And we can't make that decision anymore. We are all needed. All of us are needed to help turn this tide. If we're not here for that, then why are we here? That's a question each of us must answer for ourselves. More headlines of what the engineered COVID-19 virus is impacting. From Reuters and other sources, Pentagon orders halt to overseas movement for U.S. and military over coronavirus. From Washington, Defense Secretary Mark Esper has issued a stop movement order to the U.S. military, halting travel and movement abroad for up to 60 days in an effort to limit the spread of COVID-19 throughout the ranks of the Pentagon. Once you've opened Pandora's box, can't put it back. Another headline. This should be very deeply considered. Agendas being carried out. Doesn't mean the unfolding catastrophe is not real. It simply means it's being used to carry out agendas. We must look at the whole complexity of the picture. Here's the headline. Department of Justice wants to suspend constitutional rights during coronavirus emergency. That's what this government's about. That's what previous governments have been leading up to. Now it's worse than ever. From this report, the Trump administration Department of Justice has asked Congress to craft legislation allowing chief judges to indefinitely hold people without trial and suspend other constitutionally protected rights during the COVID-19 and other emergencies. What other emergencies? The ones that are coming with the next pandemic release, as I covered earlier in this broadcast. This is no different than the, quote, Patriot Act. This is much worse, actually. But the Patriot Act that was already crafted before 9/11 even happened. Part of that agenda. Does that mean 9/11 didn't happen? Does that mean the buildings didn't collapse? Does that mean Americans didn't die? Of course not. What it means is those in power don't hesitate to kill or create havoc anytime they need to carry out whatever agendas or objectives they want to carry out. More from Reuters and other sources. As coronavirus spreads, U.S. military to withhold some infection data. Secrecy. Just like the Chinese government, secrecy. Reuters has reported that thousands of U.S. military personnel are in quarantine or in self-isolation in Europe and the Middle East. There has been a sharp increase in coronavirus cases among troops inside the United States, but the precise number worldwide has not been disclosed because commanders have declined to offer figures, including the U.S. military's Southern Command. Secrecy, no different than the Chinese government. Moving on, more headlines. This one on disaster capitalists. Again, those who capitalize off any and every cataclysm. This headline, the Kushner family could be getting very rich thanks to the COVID-19 virus. From that report, the Kushner family's ties to for-profit healthcare companies underscore the myriad of conflicts of interest that billionaire businessmen have, making them particularly unsuited to holding public office. Gee, who else can we put in that category? Does that question even warrant an answer? Let's try to weave much of this together. The vaccine, COVID-19 connections I listed earlier, the impact, the potential for making the whole scenario worse. Now consider this headline from Vaccine Impact News. Over $57 million paid by the U.S. government for vaccine injuries in 2020. Consider that our government is paying for the death and injury caused by Big Pharma. Report continues, as experimental coronavirus vaccine is fast-tracked. All of this is part of the same bigger picture. Complex picture, but all part of the picture. Let's add this to the equation from commondreams.inc. Quote, this is a massive scandal. Trump FDA grants drug company exclusive claim on promising coronavirus drug. From that report, as healthcare providers across the U.S. desperately attempt to treat a rapidly growing number of patients with the coronavirus, a pharmaceutical company with ties to the Trump administration has been granted exclusive status for a drug it is developing to treat the illness, a potential windfall for the company that could help it generate huge profits at the cost of putting the medication out of reach for most Americans. Can you see how all this fits together? We're all sinking in a cesspool of murderous tyranny and corruption. The swamp hasn't been drained. It's being stocked full more than ever before. It's worse than ever before. And those who choose not to see that are truly ramming their heads into the sand. And we will all soon pay the cost If we don't clear the lens through which we see the world, we all must do that. It takes effort. We all are subject to various biases from our upbringing, from our surroundings, from our social settings. We must clear the lens through which we see the world. Time is rapidly running out. Back to the U.S. government vaccine injury payouts. Big Pharma continues to create carnage and mortality with total legal immunity for any and all death and injury they cause. A state-sponsored criminal cartel known as the U.S. government continues to pay off the injured for Big Pharma. And once paid off, these victims are forced into silence. For any that are still trying to convince themselves that vaccines are safe, again, Google this, vaccine injury attorneys, or quote, vaccine injury legal advice. And then ask yourself this question, if many weren't being injured by vaccines, why? Why are so many attorneys specializing in such cases? And as I just covered a minute ago, why is the U.S. government paying out massive amounts in settlements to the vaccine injured? So even as the true origin of the COVID-19 bioweapon is still unknown, the Trump EPA is granting a monopoly on yet another vaccination. If one summons the courage to honestly investigate the entire vaccine scenario, the whole picture, who is making what? Who's paying off who? And what may vaccinations have to do with the unfolding COVID-19 pandemic, making it worse than it already was? The picture that is painted by all available data is dark indeed, but we must face this picture. We must face this reality head on if we're to have any chance of changing course. An example I've given so many times in the past, if you're standing in the freeway during the middle of rush hour, are you better off facing traffic or turning your back to it? Does that question even need to be answered? The tyranny that's occurring behind the curtain, in the shadows, by those who run governments, not just our own, but governments all over the globe, must be exposed. The president constantly accuses China of being secretive, which is, of course, true. But the reality is that the U.S. government crime syndicate is just as secretive. Secret classified meetings on the COVID-19 bioweapon, which our government may have known about long before the Chinese, and which our government may have even had a hand in creating. And coincidentally, this COVID-19 bioweapon targeting specific populations around the globe. And let's not forget that we know that a country that we are not allowed to mention, Israel, has admitted that they have been experimenting with just such a coronavirus for 4 years, and thus just happened to be close to a vaccination. What a coincidence. Again, I state, those in power could not do what they do without the active or passive cooperation of a majority of the population. We have seen the enemy, and he is us. Consider this quote from an awakened member of the human society. Frank Zappa said this, "The illusion of freedom will continue as long as it's profitable to continue the illusion. At the point where the illusion becomes too expensive to maintain, they will just take down the scenery, they will pull back the curtains, they will move the tables and chairs out of the way, and you will see the brick wall at the back of the theater." We are at that point where reality can no longer be hidden. The former paradigm is over. It was just a paradigm of ideology, bias, and program blindness and delusion. Where do we go from here? Is there anything left worth fighting for? The answer to that question is a resounding yes. The fight for the greater good is now more important than ever before. The fight to expose and halt the insanity once and for all. The fight to salvage some part of the planet's remaining life support systems. The fight to save some part of the remaining web of life. The fight to provide some possibility for some part of the human race to continue on, hopefully with a higher level of understanding and benevolence. Unshakable solace exists in fully committing oneself to facing the gathering storm head on. Unshakable solace exists in fully committing oneself to this most epic battle for the greater good. It is not just the human race that is in the balance. It is literally life on Earth. Fully awakening the masses to truths that are not being told, to truths on which our collective futures literally depend, is the great imperative of our time. Fully awakening our military brothers and sisters and law enforcement is the most important of all. We are them and they are us. Only in standing together do we have any chance of changing course. Those that are already awake must march forward in the fight to sound the alarm with unyielding resolve, with unshakable determination. Sharing credible data from a credible source is key. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more about how you can help. Make your voice heard. We must make every day count in this critical effort to awaken the masses. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org.